Média.
Média. Podcast.
Média. Podcast. مرحبا بكم. اليوم واحد الحلقة مميزة. علاش؟ لأن ما غنديروهاش بالعربية وما غنديروهاش بان فرونسي. احنا مضطرين نديروها اون انجلي لان مراه اليوم هي مغربيه ولكن كبرات في اليو كي وكتهضر غير لونجلي، وهي شفناها بزاف مؤخرا في لي ميديا عندنا. هي ليلى رواس، ممثله معروفه بزاف 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 في اليو كي، ودارت اون مارك اون بلاتفورم كتهضر فيها على لو بيانيتر. دونك هي مراه اليوم اليوم معايا، وبحال اللي كنقولوا بير ويز اس، صبروا معنا غادي نديروا الانترفيو ان انجلي.
ميديا ياسمين فام دوجوردي.
I've had already women from all over the globe, but normally they can handle a little bit of Darija, of Arabic.
Yeah, I can speak a little bit of Arabic, but not well enough to do a whole interview with it.
No worries. If you want to pop in some Arabic words, just feel free. But people might wondering why we are talking in English instead of using Moroccan Arabic.
Yeah.
What can you
say? Well, I know how to speak Moroccan Arabic, but I'm not very good. So I wouldn't be confident enough to have a whole conversation in Arabic.
What can you say to our audience right now in Arabic?
Oh gosh, I can't. Don't do this to me, Yasmin.
Just give it a try. Be self-compassionate. Yes, you can.
I wouldn't even know where to start. I don't know what to say.
Okay, repeat after me.
Yeah, go on.
مرحبا بكم.
مرحبا بكم.
معنا.
معنا.
في ميديا. On ميديا.
ميديا.
في البودكاست.
في البودكاست.
نساء اليوم.
نساء اليوم.
How does it sound?
Sounds okay to me.
Yeah.
Now you're going to be my Arabic teacher now.
I will, of course. Are you a podcast consumer?
Yes, but I listen to a lot of true crime, a lot of some wellness stuff. I like true stories as well, because I've always liked autobiographies.
Yeah.
Because I just like to hear people's stories.
So I invite you to subscribe to Femmes d'aujourd'hui. Women, because it's all about real Moroccan women stories. Leila Rouas, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Yasmin.
How are you, Leila?
I'm very well. How are you?
I'm okay, thank you. Leila, tell me, what do you prefer, the Arabic pronunciation of your name or the British one? Do you prefer Leila or Laila?
I prefer Leila.
Leila, the Moroccan one.
Yes, of course. Everybody calls me Leila.
Leila.
I always correct them, yeah. Actually, I lived in India and they use Leila a lot. Yeah, so I'm forever correcting people.
Great. Okay, I wanted to ask from the beginning. So let's go. You're a British actress from Moroccan background. But let's say you're much more famous in India and in the UK than here. Is there a reason to this?
Actually, I'm fully Moroccan. I just lived in India for 6 years. Yeah, I lived in Bombay, which is now Mumbai, for 6 years.
Did you have to juggle the identities?
Yes, definitely. I think when you're, especially, second generation immigrants, I felt that growing up, there was so much racism when I grew up. I mean, there was sort of a lot of racism. So you kind of either one, try to conform to the culture that you're living in and deny the culture that you come from, or you embrace the culture that you're in, that, you know, that your family is from. And I found it really difficult at first to know where I stood with, you know, my identity. Am I British? Am I Moroccan? Am I Arab? Am I African? You know, there were so many sort of questions in my head, because, you know, you have so much, when there's so much animosity towards your culture, it's difficult to feel comfortable in that culture, but it's also difficult to feel comfortable in the culture that you are being brought up in. So for many years as a child, this is when I was much younger, like 10, 11, you know, I sort of wanted the blonde hair and the blue eyes just so I could fit in,
yes,
so that I couldn't stand out. But, you know, in my teenage years, but we used to go to Morocco every year. Every summer we'd spend the whole summer in Morocco. So I had a very close connection to my country and to my people, you know, and so that part of me I was always very proud of. And as I've got older, you know, I've embraced my culture, and I've embraced. So I do feel very, very Moroccan. I feel very, you know, North African. But also, of course, I love being British too. Yeah, and it's a wonderful country. You know, yeah. It's very diverse. It's very accepting. Things have changed a lot now, and you know, I speak to people that come here as I work with a charity called One Family, and we have a refugee center in Lesbos in Greece. So I talk to a lot of people that come here from Afghanistan and Syria and, you know, all these kind of Iraq, and they do feel at home here. Of course, there are problems, but overall they say it's a very friendly place and, you know, very accepting. You just have to find your tribe of people. You just have to find like-minded people. But overall, you know, it's a great country to settle in, I think.
But I was wondering, why aren't you that famous here in Morocco?
I've spent that much time. I haven't really done much work there at all. You know, most of my time. And, you know, the thing is, I don't really like fame either. So, I like acting and I like doing my job.
Yeah.
But the fame side of it, I keep away from. It's something that I try to avoid because it's not something that appeals to me. I don't, you know, you get invited to go to all these places and all these premieres and stuff like that. But to me, it's just not, I don't go, because if I'm not in the film, if it's not a film that I really want to see, if it's not something I'm connected to, I don't really want to turn up just to take pictures. Do you know what I mean? Fame is not something that appeals to me at all. In fact, it's probably the worst part of my job.
Acting is just a job.
It's a job, and I like to go do my job, go home, and live my life outside of the cameras.
I can understand. I can relate to this. But, you know, Leila, we've been seeing you and reading about you those days in the Moroccan media. And I was intrigued. Who's this British Moroccan actress launching this platform about wellness? And I went to dig in and I found out about a woman of challenges who did a plethora of things, from modeling to TV presenter to actress. And I said, why don't we know her here in Morocco? She's a real role model.
Oh, thank you. You know, it's funny. When I lived in India, I used to work for a music channel. And you'd be surprised, because there are so many pop groups that are British or French or German or Dutch. And they're huge. They're absolutely huge all over Asia. And we had 72 territories, so 72 countries we used to go over. And they would be huge, absolutely massive. But no one would know them in their own country.
Yeah.
So you'd have a British pop band. So it happens, you know, where people are, you know, are well-known in the country they're born in or wherever they choose to settle, but not in the country of their birth or where they were brought up. So it's actually quite common. But yeah, I'd love to spend more of my working life in Morocco, for sure. It's you know, I love the country.
So we're gonna be talking in a few minutes about this this new challenge you're taking on, this wellness brand and platform. But before this, I wanna stop on some milestones, if I may. Mm-hmm. Were there turning moments in your life?
I think moving abroad was a big moment in my life. It wasn't something that I was planning to do. I went over there to do a TV show for 2 months and decided, and then got offered a job while I was there. and decided to stay. And that really changed my concept of the world. It really fed me, you know, intellectually, culturally. You know, my eyes were open to so many different cultures and different, because I was based in Bombay, but our main offices were in Hong Kong and Singapore. So I traveled the whole of Asia and like at 21, 22. So for me, that was a huge milestone because I was introduced to different religions. I was introduced to different languages, different cultures. And India is really vast. It's a huge country and there are over 250 languages and so many religions and so many foods and the whole of Asia is like that. So that was a huge milestone for me in my 20s. And I wouldn't, you know, if I could go back, I wouldn't change that part at all because it was it was very enlightening.
Yeah. This is for a person as a whole, but for the woman you are. We say that turning 40 is very special. What was it for you?
No, not really, actually, at 40. I think it was more 30 that I kind of started, you know, I spent a lot of time when I turned 30 thinking, oh, I should have this and I should have done this by now. Because I think as women, we beat ourselves up, you know. Yeah. We should be mothers, we should be wives, we should have big careers, we should have, you know, there's so much pressure to have so much when actually you don't look at what you've already done. You know, so I spent the first 2 years of my 30s thinking, oh, my gosh, you know, my friends have got kids and they're all settled down and I don't have none. They haven't even met anyone and things like that. I just think they derail you. They kind of take you off your focus. And although I knew it was something that I wanted, it just wasn't the right time for me. So 30 was a milestone in the sense that I did a lot of self-discovery outside of my work. So 20s was spent just working and having fun and doing a great job and traveling. And then my 30s, I came back to the UK. And so although I was working, I had a lot more time to work on myself. And I think that's what the 30s did for me. My 40s were great because it was, you know, where you just learn to sort of accept, not even accept, but love who you are and what you've done. And you can reflect back at your life and think, gosh, you know, I've done so much and I've achieved so much, regardless of what that achievement is or where you know, life doesn't go the way that you expect it to go. Life never goes like that. But as long as you don't regret, you know, of course, there are things, you know, I've got more regrets in what I haven't done as opposed to what I have done. And that's a better place to be in because I can still do those things.
And this brings us to your new think, this platform and this brand about well-being and self-compassion. When did all this begin, this advocacy for well-being, Leila Ruas?
Okay, so what happened was when I was living in India, I was on the border of Tibet. I was filming an Evian commercial in Tibet. And the hotel that I was staying up was in the middle of nowhere. It was up on the mountains. And there was a landslide, so a little, not earthquake, but we got stuck into our rooms. But a few doors away from me was a monastery, a Buddhist monastery. And so I just decided I'm going to go and spend some time there with the monks because, you know, there was nothing to do. And so I spent 2 or 3 days there while we were stuck, you know, where we couldn't move. And, a lot of it is just spent in silence. So you just sit there and it's really peaceful. And there was a Tibetan woman that lived next door and she made handmade paper. So I spent time. I didn't understand the language because everyone there obviously speaks Tibetan. But you didn't really need to understand the language. It was just more connecting with people. So while I was there, I got completely obsessed with the Dalai Lama. And so I kind of decided once I went back to Bombay, I have to meet the Dalai Lama. I have to be blessed by the Dalai Lama. I read everything up about him. And literally a month later, I was at an event and the Dalai Lama was there and I went to speak to him. And, you know, he blessed me, put his hand on my head and he blessed me. And from there, I realized that I was manifesting I don't know if, you know, for those of you that don't know what manifesting is, it's becoming It's like becoming the author of your own life. Mm. So writing, learning to write your own story. So whether you're looking to find love or money or career or build relationships, whatever it is, you can manifest it. But that doesn't, it works on the law of attraction, but that doesn't mean you just sit there and think about it and it's going to happen. Mm. What happens is, you know, I do a manifestation workshop where it's a 5-6 step manifestation workshop and how to get from where you are now to where you want to be. And there are no limits. So really that's where it started. But it's only in the last 4 years I did a course at Yale University, which was dealt with the science behind happiness. So it's not really spiritual stuff.
Yes, it's not out of nowhere.
Yeah, it's the science behind happiness under Dr. Laura Santos. And that really opened my mind up because often what we think is going to make us happy doesn't make us happy. We think, you know, having lots of money, having a big car and this and that is going to make us happy. But actually it's connections to people that make us happy. It's things like gratitude makes us happy.
Yeah.
Learning the art of gratitude, self-compassion, which is, I just did a workshop over the weekend about self-compassion. And that's really, and self-compassion is about changing the dialogue that you have with yourself, changing that conversation that you have in your head. And so, you know, if you said to me, oh, Layla, I've eaten too much and I've put on so many pounds, you know, and I feel awful and look at this dress, I look dreadful in it. I'm not going to say to you, oh, you know what, you're right, Yasmin, you look dreadful, you look terrible, look at you, you've put on so much weight, you know, I wouldn't go out if I were you.
Mm-mm.
I would never say that to you.
Yes.
You'd never say that to another person, but we talk like that to ourselves. We think it's perfectly normal to go, oh, look at you, Layla, you've put on so much weight, or, you know, we judge ourselves. We look at ourselves with so much self-judgment and criticism. And self-compassion is about learning to unlearn what we've been taught, because that doesn't do, we think by talking to ourselves like that, it's going to make us change. But actually, it does the opposite. It makes us give up because, you know, no one wants to hear that. And so
it's too negative.
It's really important to practice in your daily life. And eventually it becomes normal.
Yeah.
It becomes, well, you know what, Layla, it's okay. Today you ate badly, but, you know, it doesn't mean you have to eat like that for the rest of the day. And I've got tomorrow. And, you know, with a little bit of encouragement, that's what you would do to your child, right? It's okay. We'd start again tomorrow. You know, and that's how we have to learn to talk to ourselves. Mm.
Was it ever a moment in your life where you were definitely lacking self-compassion?
Yes, I think we all have that, and I still do that. It's not like I do it all the time, but now I've learned to go, no, don't be like that. No, it's not going to work being like this to yourself. So I still have times where I go, oh, you've been so lazy, and, you know, look at you. And then I have to go, no, Layla, you were working or you had meetings or, you know, you learn to change. It doesn't mean it stops. It just means you learn how to stop it. You know, you learn how to pause and go, no, breathe, and then start again. So it happens, you know, I still get moments where I find myself talking to myself like that. But I'm a lot more kinder to myself, and I think it's important that we learn. And because it works, that's the other thing. It makes us want to do better. You know, if your child says, oh, Mom, I failed in my English, you wouldn't say, you're stupid.
Yeah.
You see, you're never going to be anything. You'd say, well, look, how can I help you? Where are you struggling? And that's how we should talk to ourselves.
Mm.
You know, that's how we need to learn to talk to ourselves. And it doesn't mean if we do something bad, we say, oh, it's okay, Layla, you're only human. You know, it doesn't mean letting yourself off the hook. It means acknowledging what you've done and trying to make yourself better.
Of course. Instead of
criticizing yourself.
Yeah. So, Layla, you're turning 51 in a few days,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel?
I feel great.
Yeah?
You know, it's like, you know, what's the alternative of not getting older is being dead, right?
So you're right. So better feel better.
Getting older. Yeah. Better, you know, I'm grateful to be getting older. So many of my friends didn't make it past 40. So, you know, I think it's a gift.
You're right.
You know, to be getting older.
So are there well-being practices you do yourself to look after yourself?
Yeah, I mean, firstly, my mind, I have, you know, I kind of sometimes I've learned to use gratitude. So even, you know, I'm working this week, so I'm in a hotel and the area is not great, but the back of the hotel, there's a beautiful river. And so although the front of the hotel is on a main road, I've decided, you know, like in the evenings, I go out, have a coffee and I sit outside and just watch the river cruises, you know, on the river. So, and I'm grateful to sort of be working. I'm grateful to sit there and watch this scenery and just have like half an hour to myself. So little things like that, you know, you don't have to sit there saying, I'm grateful for my health, I'm grateful to have a house over my head, I'm grateful to have food on my table. Of course we're great, but it's learning to enjoy the little things in life that sometimes we forget because we're too busy looking for the big things. Mm. You know, so I practice that. I do, you know, a little meditation, you know, 5-minute meditation in the mornings. I go to the gym regularly, so I'll be going to the gym as soon as we stop talking. I'll be going to the gym, and that gets me in the frame of mind that I want to be in. So these are the things that I practice daily.
And I want to bring in the platform. Mm-hmm. What is it about? How does it work?
So Whole and Then Some is a wellness platform, and it's at the moment we do workshops. We're going to do retreats soon. And so these workshops are, we have, I've been done in collaboration with White Aura, with Home House. Home House is a private members club here in the UK. So I do collaborations with some people. I had Jess and James come onto my platform, onto my workshop on Sunday, who's an amazing motivational speaker, somebody that I've admired for years. So it's great to have him on. So at the moment we do workshops via Zoom, and people hop on, and we do. So I do a manifestation workshop, which is like a 6-step workshop on how to manifest the things that you want in life. So many of us have been taught that having an abundance, having lots of more, is we shouldn't want more. We shouldn't want more money. We shouldn't want more success. But that it's wrong and that rich people are bad. And but actually, that's not true. It's absolute nonsense. Mm. You know, you should want more. If you want more, you want more. Because there's so much good that you can do with more. You know, if you have a promotion and you're really successful, you can find other talent and make them successful as well. As long as it's used in the right way, there's so much help you can do and so much good you can do with having more. And so we talk about abundance. We talk about relationships. We talk about career. So that's what we're doing at the moment. For the last 2 years, I've just been doing, because of COVID, we've been doing workshops via Zoom. But at the end of this year, I'm going to be doing face-to-face workshops. Great. And then retreats.
Yeah. Some people might see you as a guru. Are you?
No,
you're not.
I don't think I'm a guru. I'm not quite there yet. No, listen, there's lots of people that are out there doing stuff on wellness.
Yes.
But for me, it's not really about, you know, the spiritual side of my wellness comes a lot from my identity, the religion that I was brought up in. You know, so a lot of my kind of sense of responsibility and sense of self is already ingrained in me. For me, it's about the science behind happiness.
Yes, you're
and
right.
What makes us happy. Mm. And what we think is going to make us happy doesn't make us happy. So all I do really is try to focus people on what it is that they want and what it, not to be taken in by the white noise around them, because you can start thinking, oh, I want what she wants, oh, I want what he wants, but not actually thinking about what you want because you think that's what I should have. And everyone's different. So my workshops are not about sort of sitting there and going, let's, you know, it's not
okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of science-based and practical and focused, because that's our life, isn't it? You know, every day we have to get up, we have to go to work, we have to make a living, we have to look after our children and our parents or our, you know, and so on and so forth. So it's a practical way of living, but still getting a spiritual sort of reward for that.
Leila Ruas, it was really great having this chat with you because it's all about real Moroccan women stories, Leila Ruas. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you, Yasmin.
Merci à toutes et à tous pour votre confiance. C'est toujours un plaisir pour moi de vous retrouver, surtout de retrouver mes femmes marocaines battantes, extraordinaires, du lundi au vendredi. Et bien sûr, chaque épisode est toujours en avant-première, à la demande, à n'importe quel moment, sur Média Podcast. Très très bonne suite des programmes à toutes et à tous.